You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to the first episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. This is the first true episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. If you heard our original one that we put out a little bit before we were supposed to on Monday, I thank you very much for listening to that. It has been taken down from iTunes and Megaphone and all the other places you can access it. We'll put it up later this week. In Guns N' Roses terms, if you're a fan of the band Guns N' Roses, that's sort of our Live Like a Suicide. That was our test run. It's now the rare copy. If you've got it, it's a collector's item. But eventually we will re-release it to the public because, hey, that's what we do. And if you're Guns N' Roses, I guess you make a lot of money off of it. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. And I can't tell you how excited I am to get this underway. And of course, we get it underway with some exciting news yesterday. Oklahoma finally naming a starting quarterback in Kyler Murray. And that was probably about as shocking as the president sending out a tweet sometime today. We will talk about Kyler Murray, what he brings to OU, why it wasn't a shock for him to get the starting job, and more importantly, the other side of things. What goes on with Austin Kendall? Because this, as Lincoln Riley said, will not be his only quarterback battle at OU, and what that ultimately means for his future. He's already been through one, and he's definitely going to go through one again next season. In segment number two, we'll talk about some of the sexy storylines that are going on in camp or went on in camp and are still going on as we get a little bit closer to the season. And I'll tell you what player I'm looking most forward to seeing after hearing his teammates talk about him so much. We'll tell you about that in segment two. And then in segment number three, we'll wrap things up talking about Urban Meyer. Not that I want to spend too much time on it, but I'm going to get into why this says more about us as college football fans than it does anything Urban Meyer or Art Briles or Joe Paterno or even Bob Stoops ever did as head coach. That's coming in segment three, plus we'll touch on OU basketball opening their new facilities. And in case you missed it, there was some pretty big news coming out in college basketball yesterday with all the Urban Meyer stuff. We'll get to that as well. If you don't know who I am, maybe this is the first time you're ever hearing my voice. My name's Eric G. I'm a contributor to 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, owned by good old iHeartMedia here in Oklahoma City. And I'm also co-host with Randy Renner of Saturday College Game Day, which gets underway the first Saturday of the college football season. That would be September 1st. And you can hear that on News Radio 1000 KTOK and 1340 The Game, amongst other fine stations here in Oklahoma City, as well as the iHeartMedia app. So we kept you waiting long enough. Let's jump into Locked On Sooners. Yesterday, finally announced, big surprise, hold on to the edge of your seat, Kyler Murray, the starting quarterback at OU. And you had to know that that was coming. Even if the competition was as close as Lincoln Riley said, and I believe him, when Lincoln Riley says it was a competition, and even Kyler Murray told me yesterday, or at least I was the one that asked him the question, that the reps were split pretty evenly between him and Austin Kendall. Even if it was, to ask a guy to not start his baseball career as soon as Kyler Murray could, signing for $4 million, asking a guy to come back and not begin his trek to the major leagues, that's a pretty big ask of a kid. And he has to know that when he agrees to do that, yes, he may be competing for the starting job, but has to have a pretty good idea in his head that he's going to get it or it's just not going to be worth it. And if you're his dad, when you're advising him, you're having this talk with him. So Kyler Murray gets it. It's his job to lose. And certainly Oklahoma does feel confident that if Kyler Murray can't get the job done, then they can put this on Austin Kendall's shoulders and everything will be fine. Well, here is Kyler Murray yesterday talking about being named OU's starting quarterback.
Obviously, it's a huge honor for me. Something I've dreamed of. I've been working hard ever since I got here. It's the moment. Since I've started playing, I've been working for this. So for me to be named starting quarterback is obviously a huge honor. And, you know, I know the standard, you know, at the of the position at this university, so it's my job to uphold it.
Kyler, how did Coach Riley let you know the news?
He just called me in my, his office and, you know, let me know. So it was.
Did you know that was coming, and did you know that you were going to be the guy when it did?
I mean, I knew the time that, you know, we play next weekend, so I knew it had to be soon. He texted me and told me to come meet him. I had a feeling that, you know, this was what it was about, so.
Riley did go on to say after that, and that's Kyler Murray's voice, but Lincoln Riley did go on to say that it was just a couple of more practices. He couldn't tell us on Monday, but he could tell us 2 days later, and it was just a couple of practices. I think you had seen enough of Kyler Murray in spring. You had seen enough of Austin Kendall in spring. You had redshirted Austin Kendall. Even the coaches had a pretty good idea of what was going to happen. But I do honestly believe that maybe there were one or two things that needed to take place in fall camp in order for them to just go ahead and put their seal of approval on this. And as far as Kyler Murray, what he brings to this team, ultimately there's the athletic skill. He can move around out of the pocket. He can throw the hell out of the ball. If you've never seen him throw the football, the dude can spin it. And he's just been around college football. I think more than anything, it's experience. His time at A&M, his time around Baker Mayfield last year, backing up Baker Mayfield, even his time in baseball and being around guys who are going to be professionals and being around for what limited time he has had in that Oakland A's environment, sort of give him a little bit of cachet, a little bit of swagger that maybe Austin Kendall doesn't have yet. And it doesn't mean that Austin Kendall won't get his shot. Austin Kendall's still got a few more years here at OU. He's only a sophomore to get his opportunity to start. But when asking Kyler Murray about what separated him from Austin Kendall, he didn't exactly reply.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I just, like I said, I came in here every day ready to work, try to get better, and, you know, try to push my teammates, and that's, you know, that's really what it was. I would say a lot ready. I mean, a lot more ready. You know, the preparation, you know, sitting for 3 years, obviously nobody wants to sit for that long, but, you know, I think it's helped me a lot of ways, so I think I'm pretty ready for it.
And no doubt for Kyler Murray, there has to be some anxiousness as he gets ready to take the field against Florida Atlantic. Now, he's had opportunities to come in mop-up time, play for Baker Mayfield, play at OU, get used to that crowd. But you do have the past at A&M, which a lot of people who maybe haven't seen him play are going to be focused on that. So now he gets an opportunity to go out and show. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Kyler Murray overdo it in a couple of series against Florida Atlantic. I think for the most part, he's going to be calm, cool, and collected. But when you've been chomping at the bit for 3 years, you can't help but want to go off and show off everything that you're about. So the other side of this is Austin Kendall. And what does this ultimately mean for him and his future at OU? Here's Lincoln Riley after I ask him, talking about how Austin Kendall took the news.
Like any competitor you would expect. Handled it, you know, in a very mature way. Certainly is disappointed, wants to play. You know, for a guy like him, you can't sit there and say, well, what I did here over the last, you know, several months didn't work. You know, what he did over the last several months did work. He's a much, much improved player. It's going to help him a lot going forward. And he's got to continue to bring the same mindset and attitude that he did throughout this entire competition, because regardless of anybody else, he has improved dramatically. And he started it off today. He came out there on, you know, what we all know is a difficult day for him, and had a heck of a practice.
How much do you think his improvement helped Kyler along?
I don't know. I mean, the competition always helps. They probably helped each other. You know, when you got two guys that are playing at a high level, you know, nobody – they both understand somebody's not going to win this by default. You know, it's sometimes you have only one good player, and it's, you know, it's pretty obvious. And regardless of what you say, it's clear to everybody, you know, who it is, and that this guy's just a whole lot better. And that wasn't the case here. So they made each other better. They fed off of each other. When one of them would raise their game, the other one would answer back. And they both played at a high level. So it's made them better individually, and it certainly made this team better.
Regardless of what Lincoln Riley says, Austin Kendall has to be devastated. Just living the human experience when you've had a goal set for yourself, you get redshirted last year, and now you get the opportunity to compete for the job, and you don't get it, yeah, there's going to be some devastation there, and you're going to have to work through that mentally. You've already gone through one quarterback battle with Baker Mayfield where you knew you were going to sit behind him. You were told now you're even battling for the backup job with Kyler Murray. You had to sit behind him last year. And Kyler Murray, the door is open that he could come back for the next football season. Don't see that happening, but even if he doesn't, there's a five-star recruit in Spencer Rattler who's waiting in the wings to come onto campus, and you can bet that he's going to want that job and thinks he's going to deserve that job if Kyler Murray's gone. And a lot of times, coaches look to the future. If you've got a young guy and he shows any promise, he's going to be the one that gets the job, maybe even over the most experienced guy, and that goes even at quarterback. So for Austin Kendall, it was asked to Lincoln Riley yesterday. He really kind of hem-hawed around the question, but essentially it was alluded to when you're in a day and age of kids transferring. Could that possibly be Austin Kendall's future if he feels like he's going to have to continually compete for the job at OU? Will he find another place to go? And Lincoln Riley skirted around that. And the old school way of thinking is that guys should stay on campus and compete. Had a co-host, sure you know him, Anthony Fogle, played at OU. He's a high school coach now, and he really wants guys to compete. But when you only have 4 years, you want to play. That's a very limited time. And even though maybe OU is the place that you had your heart set on, there might be another place to better showcase your skills. And if you have any chance of getting to the NFL, sometimes, and I'm not talking specifically about Austin Kendall there, sometimes it's in your best interest to go someplace else and take that opportunity when it comes. And look how well it's working out for a kid like Justice Hansen, who was on campus at OU and is now able to go and show out at Arkansas State. This is Eric G. This is the first episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I guess technically it's the second episode. I'll repost the first on Sunday, but we're going to let this one marinate for a couple of days. And coming up next, I'll tell you the player I'm looking most forward to seeing this year at OU. And Mike Stoops, could he possibly kill my dad this year? All that's coming up here on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
The Locked On Podcast Network is now Locked On Sooners and Locked On College. Today is the official launch of all our college podcasts, and I think we're starting with 10 of them. And as the season goes on, we're going to be adding more, and it's not just football schools. I know that there's some basketball schools that are going to be there as well. And if you want to get all the Locked On podcasts, college, professional, otherwise, just go to Apple iTunes. They're on Spotify, Google, and of course, Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play Locked On Sooners. And Alexa should pull that right up for you. Player I'm looking most forward to seeing this year for OU is a walk-on, and it's Drake Stoops, because for the last 2 weeks, anytime you go out to media availability at OU, Drake Stoops has really been the talk of everyone, whether it's offensive players, defensive coaches, and of course, Drake Stoops is a hell of a story. He's from Norman, Bob Stoops' kid, his brother Isaac's playing on the team, three-star, was offered scholarships, only one Power Five offered him, and that was Iowa. So it's the whole walked on Stoops legacy thing that's getting all built up. But if you listen to the coaches talk, and obviously that's all we can do is listen to his coaches and teammates talk because we're not allowed to go see scrimmages, Drake Stoops is making plays. And he's showing that he can play at this level at OU. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point during Drake Stoops' career, and if not sooner rather than later, if all the talk is true, that we do see him on scholarship, even though his dad can afford it, and it's as a walk-on, you get treated a lot better than what you used to. There's just something about being a scholarship player and saying you got a scholarship to a Power 5 school that somehow just makes the entire difference for your playing career. I've only seen the kid on tape, and in Norman North, he did look like a player, but getting to see him against college competition has me excited because there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of buildup. And I'm very cautious about this because with hype, with buildup, will come great disappointment as well. And a guy that I was talking to yesterday that's covered OU now for a long time, I won't say his name, and I won't say exactly what he said, but essentially he kind of threw Drake Stoops as being that guy out there that everybody's going to talk about now, but then we never see him get on the field, and we hear that maybe it wasn't as good as all the hype was. Even if it's not as good as the hype is, he's the one guy I want to see, followed closely by Brendan Riley Hiles, a.k.a. Buki, who's going to play defensive back at OU, and he's been a little bit injured, but this is a guy everybody just raves about. So when you have freshmen or walk-on and you don't get the idea or you don't get the opportunity to go behind the curtain and see what happens, that piques my interest. These are the guys I want to see, and I hope I get to see at least one of them, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get to see Buki during the Florida Atlantic game. One note to Mike Stoops, though. While we're on defense, I do want to say this. Please find it in your heart to line up right when OU needs to stop the run, because if you don't, you're going to kill my father. My father has been an OU fan since he was a kid. He goes all the way back to the late part of the Bud Wilkinson era, first part of Gomer Jones, all the way through. So he's seen a lot. He's lived through the John Blake era, and I have never seen any coach give my father an aneurysm the way Mike Stoops has over these last few years and the formations that he has put on the field, and OU showing this complete inability to shut people down, especially in that Rose Bowl game. I thought my dad was going to die. I really did. So Mike Stoops, just get lined up right, because if you do so, you can save a life. And real quick, I'll just tell you, I'm not a fire Mike Stoops guy. I'm usually not a fire the coach guy unless there's something pretty egregious. Even if he is screwing up his job, as long as he's recruiting and the team's winning, I can live with the guy, but I know how a lot of you feel about him. I know how maybe you're feeling about Mike Stoops right now. And with Ruffin McNeil on campus, there's a lot of you feeling that, you know, Mike's got to get it done, but he just got a raise. Lincoln Riley seems to like him. Bob Stoops helped Lincoln Riley get this job. I don't see Mike disappearing anytime soon. He's probably at OU as long as he wants to be. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next, we finish things off, and I will tell you why what happened at Ohio State says less about Urban Meyer and more about us as fans here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
This is the first true episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your host, Eric G. Thank you for joining us today, and we will be back at it again on Monday. Normally, you're saying, well, hey, Locked On whatever, Locked On insert name here is 5 days a week. True, but this is the launch of all the college football or just college sports in general podcast. So we'll let this one marinate for a couple of days. We'll do a brand new one on Monday, and then we will follow it every day of the week after that. And I'm even going to podcast on Sunday after OU game days, so we can have instant opinion, instant reaction, audio, etc. when it comes to OU. And thank you very much for listening to us. Last night, what happened in Columbus says a hell of a lot less about Urban Meyer and way more about us. And all this comes down to, if you really want college football coaches to be more and not allow guys on their staff who are beating their wives, not cover up things like child molestation, not allow guys on their campus who break a girl's face in five different places, not allow the horrendous acts that went on down in Baylor to continue to go on, then you got to give up rooting for your school. It's that simple. We feign outrage, and I'm just as guilty of it as anyone else. I was extremely critical of Bob Stoops for allowing Joe Mixon to stay on campus, and what do? Well, I don't think there's been a day go by in the last 40 years of my life, give or take, that I haven't worn an OU shirt. I still have the bracket on my car that says Oklahoma alumni. I'm very proud of that, even if I can't say the word. And until we decide that we're just not going to be proud of our school and we're not going to take any interest in what they're doing, and more importantly, We're not going to go to the bar or the water cooler or the coffee shop or the coffee machine or the next cubicle over and tease the guy that's an Oklahoma State fan or a Texas fan about how his school sucks compared to ours. Until we decide we're going to do none of that, situations that happen at Ohio State happen. It really is on us. And that's a hard thing to swallow as a fan, but we allow these coaches to do it. We're not mad enough to completely turn off the games. We're not mad enough to stop going to the games. And we're not mad enough to say we're going to go find our interest someplace else. And that's just the way it goes. Ohio State's just the latest. And there will be something to come along in a few months later that we'll get outraged about. And then we'll forget about it. And then we'll go back to talking about what happens on the field. And even when you do what I do, there's always that person that screams, talk sports, talk about what's on the field. Well, this is definitely worth talking about. It's definitely important. I think the problem is that when you have to do a lot of soul searching and you have to look in the mirror, none of us, myself included, big time in this, care enough to really do what it takes to ultimately put a stop to it. And Bryant Gumbel almost got it right last night when he was talking about money and morality. Yeah, money, that's definitely a part of it. But that fandom and that sense of camaraderie and the tailgating and everything else that goes along with it that we just don't want to give up, well, that's what causes this situation. And let's face it, we don't go tailgate for bad schools. We go tailgate for good schools and winning programs. And as long as they're winning, sometimes even we can overlook some pretty horrendous things. Not to end on a down note. I do not want to end on a down note here on the first podcast. So I want to talk about a couple of things that maybe you missed. First of all, the NCAA is getting rid of RPI. This came down last night. They're going to have a new tool to evaluate strength of schedule, or at least rankings overall. It's more than just strength of schedule. It's called Net Rankings, N-E-T. And what this will do is it will take into account early season games, late season games. It'll take into account where games are played, good losses, bad losses. It'll take a look at strength of schedule overall. It'll look at the conference, like every component you can possibly think of that matters in college basketball. NET is going to encompass that. So you got used to following the RPI ratings. Now get used to following the NET ratings when you're looking at your team going to the NCAA basketball tournament. And finally, on Saturday, we get to see the Griffin facilities out at OU. That's what I'm calling them. I'm just going to call it the Blake. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it now, the Blake. Yeah, no offense to his brother, okay? None whatsoever. But these are the Blake. This is the Blake. It's the brand new facility. The money was donated by him and his family. OU's going to show it off. It's for basketball. I think it's for other sports as well. But we'll get a chance to look at that on Saturday. And I will tell you all about that coming up in Monday's podcast as well. And when we rejoin on Monday, we'll start to break down Florida Atlantic. For Florida Atlantic, we'll talk a little bit more detail about the OU defense, OU offense. Who are some of the other players that you might want to look out for on both OU and FAU? All that's coming up this week on Locked On Sooners. And until Monday, until then, I tell you this. May God bless you and your family. Please drive safe. Be safe wherever you are, whatever you are doing. And always remember, Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.